the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Reverend Father, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on this beautiful Marian feast, my mind turns to some of our most treasured devotions directed towards the Mother of God, one of them being the Litany that we recite in her honor, so-called Litany of Loreto, Litany of Mary, in which there are many titles that are given to her, beautiful titles, poetic, taken from the Old Testament, one of them, of course, being Ark of the Covenant. Mary is the Ark of the Covenant. And there is a lot that we can learn about Mary by considering the Ark, and a lot to learn about the Ark by considering Mary. They teach us each about the other, but the one more about the other than the other about the one. The Ark of the Covenant was God's dwelling place on earth with his people, which is precisely what Mary became at the moment of the Incarnation. She became the dwelling place of God on earth with his people. And so we taking the cue from that, and we start thinking about the Ark itself, the construction of the Ark, what was contained in the Ark, what can these things teach us about the Blessed Virgin Mary, especially on this Feast of the Assumption. Well, for example, we know that Mary was preserved by a singular grace from any stain of original sin. Well, it happened that the Ark of the Covenant was made of a special wood, not just any kind of wood. It was made of a wood called acacia wood. I don't know how much acacia wood we have around here, but it was made from acacia wood, which is extremely hard and known never really to rot or corrupt. It was an incorruptible, unrotting wood. Stayed hard, beautiful, and integral and whole forever. Well, so too Mary would remain pure, incorrupted, even after the end of her earthly life. When she was assumed into heaven, we know that it was probably, well, we don't exactly know the final moments of Our Lady's life, but it seems fitting that she, like her son, would taste death. Rather than merely, there's a tradition that she slept. Sometimes is faced, especially by Easterners, is called the dormition of Mary, the sleeping of Mary. The sleeping, of course, can be a euphemism for dying. But her son died, and it would be fitting that she, so in unity with his saving mission, should taste death too, but no corruption, none of the corruption of the tomb. So the acacia of the Ark of the Covenant immediately points to the fact that she would be preserved incorrupt, even in her passing from this world. What about the content? More about the construction of the Ark. It was covered with gold. God directed that certain important things be covered with gold. God liked gold a lot, especially in the Old Testament. The entire temple, for example, was covered with gold. How magnificent it must have been. But the Ark of the Covenant was covered with gold, another sign of purity and incorruptibility, because gold doesn't fade, it doesn't tarnish like other metals. It stays bright and beautiful and gleaming, so it's a symbol of purity and divine favor. Another thing, too, is that when the Ark was carried about, you know, most of the time the Ark was kept in the tent of meeting, except when the people were on the road, when they were in the wilderness, on their way, wending around, eventually getting to the Promised Land. But when the Ark was being moved, it would be covered with a blue cloth. And of course, we have the wonderful tradition all through history of art of our Blessed Mother in general, dressed in blue. The contents of the Ark. Well, you might remember that there were three things in the Ark. There was a jar with the manna from heaven, from their time in the wilderness. There were also the staff that Aaron, the priestly staff that he used, was also placed in the Ark. In addition to the manna and the staff, there are also the tablets of the Ten Commandments. Well, these things have been interpreted through the centuries as being symbols of the Word of God made flesh, the fulfillment of law and prophets, the Word of God, everything made flesh. The bread that came down from heaven as manna, well, our Lord was the bread that came down from heaven. And of course, the staff of Aaron reminds us that he is the high priest. So he is the Word made flesh. He's the bread come from heaven. He is eternal high priest. And all these things were contained within the ark. They were contained also within Mary. At the time of Jeremiah, the ark disappeared, and the cloud of presence was no longer in the temple. Then the Babylonians came. We read in scripture in Maccabees, I think it's the second book of Maccabees, that Jeremiah took the ark and hid it in the mountain, where in a cave in the mountain where Moses stood to look over the Jordan into the promised land. Moses, remember, wasn't permitted to enter the promised land, and the ark has been lost ever since. There are some Christian traditions that claim that they know where the ark is or that they have the ark. Well, I shall demur. But in any event, it was thought then that one day the ark would return, and then once again the temple would be overshadowed with the presence of God and the Messiah would come. Well, when we read the account in Luke of the conception of our Lord, what happened? The ark was overshadowed once again by the presence, by the power of God, and the Messiah came. She indeed is the ark of the covenant, a new covenant, because now we have in our Lord a new Moses leading his people to a new promised land, the heavenly promised land of Jerusalem, where he enters into the temple to offer sacrifices, high priest forever. And there it is fitting, where he is king and high priest, that there should be a queen with him. Remember that in the Old Testament, the Davidic kings, the great queen was not the king's wife. The great queen was the king's mother. She was the one who would go to the king and intercede. There is a moment in, I think it was the book, second book of Kings perhaps, where Solomon, Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, goes to Solomon to intercede with him on behalf of a petition of one of his brothers. And when she comes in, they all bow to her, including the king. And they bring out not just a seat. If you look at scripture, it'll say they bring in a seat for her. The word that's used there is exactly the same word that's used for throne. They bring in a throne and set it up next to the king's throne. And that is where she sits as the mother. And there she intercedes, just as Our Lady intercedes for us next to her son's heavenly throne. There are so very many things that we can find in the Old Testament that foreshadow what our Blessed Mother's role would be, even just looking at the reading that we have tonight and from Luke and the visitation. What can we learn from that? Well, you remember how David, when he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem, because he was going to build for it a temple, it wound up for Solomon to build the temple. But what happened? He leapt and he shouted before and sang before the ark in joy. Well, what do we have here? We have the same kind of imagery and the same language during the visitation, when John the Baptist, at the sound of Mary's voice, leaps in his mother's womb, and then Elizabeth shouts out with joy her greeting to Mary. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months, And before the ark was taken up into Jerusalem, it was kept hidden for 3 months in the house of Obed-Edom. Mary remained in the hill country there for 3 months. It specifies 3 months. It just doesn't say until Elizabeth's time has come and she had had her child and so forth. It specifies 3 months. When Mary goes to Elizabeth, Elizabeth says, "How should the mother of my Lord come to me? I am unworthy." It's the same thing that David admits when he says, How does the ark come to me? For I am unworthy." There are so many parallels between everything that happens with the ark in the Old Testament and the life and the mission of our blessed mother. Now, it was fitting that Mary be taken up into heaven, incorrupted. It's fitting that she should die as her son died, and it's fitting also that she should not have... It's fitting that she should be given great honor, as is befitting the mother of this great and eternal King. "Take all your petitions to our wonderful Queen of Heaven. Ask her for things. Ask her to intercede. If you have cares in your life or concerns, if you have heavy weights, if you know someone who is in trouble, if you know someone who needs to return to their faith, go to Mary. Take your petitions to her. Ask her to intercede with her son. He will do whatever she says. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost."